Hi. Pleased to meet you. I just moved in. My name is Jerry Ford.
Former President Gerald Ford? Put it there. I'm Homer Simpson.
Say, Homer, do you like football?
Do I ever?
Do you like nachos?
Yes, Mr. Ford.
Well, why don't you come over and watch the game and we'll have nachos. And then some beer.
Ooh. Jerry, I think you and I are going to get along just fine. Oh!
Catapult to propaganda.
Military-industrial complex. A highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I am Sharon Gilbert, everybody. We're rested, we're ready, and it's welcome to 2007.
Yes, the bright new future. Of course, if you are a believer in the prophecies of
Ahmadinejad,
Robertson, or Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, it's dueling prophets.
Mine's coming before spring. When's yours coming? Oh, not
well, I'm not
September.
Sure.
Well, rat.
Yeah.
It's, all right, what up on in your face, Robertson?
It's going to be an interesting year. Hang on for the ride because we'll be here to document it the whole way.
Oh, my gosh. You know what Ahmadinejad is saying? That Al-Mahdi is going to be coming back before the vernal equinox.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there is a lunar eclipse, both on 3-3 and 3-19.
Very interesting, because the lunar eclipse...
No, sorry. Lunar eclipse 3-3, solar eclipse 3-19.
3-19 is very interesting, because the vernal equinox falls on 3-20.
Mm-hmm. Very close.
Well,
to
3-21, actually, but it's 0300 UTC.
Yeah, but 3-3 is 33.
That is correct.
Ah.
So, beware. That is some of the astrological, astronomical... Not gastronomical, but astronomical things to
we
watch.
We try to keep that to a minimum.
Yeah, yeah. It's especially, you know, it's just gustating and all that. It's just, no.
He's serious. He is serious. Now, understand, you and I have said many times, he is the supposed to be the puppet head of Iran. It's really the mullahs who run things.
Ahmadinejad,
but
yes.
But he's trying to, he has all along maintained a very striking prophetic stance.
Mm-hmm.
If he is wrong, he's going to have some splaining to do.
That's true. As you may have noticed in Watcher Magazine, Sharon actually came out of the vacation
period. Hibernation
a little
early. I saw my shadow, but I ran back in. But I was out for the day.
That explains the tan.
Yeah.
And the story that she posted was the story from the Iranian news agency with this prophecy of Al-Mahdi's return before the vernal equinox.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's March the 20th here in the central time zones.
But more than that, he is saying he's going to have 3,000,
cohorts, minions.
Nuclear.
Oh, nuclear.
Totally not grabbing the word.
Weapons?
It has to do with it's the process of nuclear energy.
Okay.
He said he's going to have 3,000 of those by spring.
Reactors.
Not reactors, no. sounds like... We'll get that for you before the end of the show, and you're probably sitting there yelling.
Yelling it out.
It's like Blue's Clues. It's tree, Blue! It's the tree!
And while that's going on, we've got Pat Robertson saying that we can expect a major attack with many, many killed, major cities... affected. He's not claiming that God told him that it was a nuclear device, but he said, and then he hedged on that and said, you know, and if we really pray, maybe we can stop it. Well, okay, so God told you what exactly? Well, nothing that we haven't been told by counterintelligence, counterterror analysts for quite some time.
Centrifuges.
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, tubes, very good. So that's the prophetic lead-in for 2007 that we're looking at. I don't know that we put any stock in the prophetic abilities of either man, but it is important to note that they are saying these things from positions of authority that they get because they're playing ball with somebody.
Exactly.
Pat Robertson.
Maybe human or not.
Yes. Pat Robertson. in my opinion, is delegated the task of saying things that are outrageous and or stupid in order to make Christians
honest. I am not so sure he believes in the same Jesus Christ that you and I do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with you there. And his statements make Christians in general appear stupid, mm-hmm. hateful, and to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We talked last year about his wish, his desire that somebody assassinate Hugo Chavez, which is just outrageous for a Christian to make such a statement. But then, you know, to go further and say, you know, well, God told me blah, blah, blah. God is professed to curse on this town because their school board won't allow creation to be taught in the schools. Come on, Pat.
He's lucky God hasn't struck him dead.
Yeah. You do some research into the history of Pat Robertson, and we should do a program on his background.
His background is he supposedly, all of that rose up from $20 in his pocket.
Yeah. No, he was lifted up to his position by those who are using him to mm-hmm. accomplish a mission. And again, as Sharon said, it may not be that we're dealing with, his backers may not be human. They may be
exactly,
you know, otherworldly. And the same holds true with Ahmadinejad. Same holds true for him. We're looking at a spiritual battle being played out on it, the global chessboard by at least 70,
exactly,
of the B'nai Elohim, sons of God,
mm-hmm.
Using human agents to do their bidding.
Amen.
So,
you know, we're going to talk at length on one, either this weekend or the following Sunday interview. We're reserving Sundays now for interviews, so mm-hmm. nice long, hour-long interview.
Right.
We've got Peter Goodgame lined up. Tom Horn's going to be talking with us in the near future. We've mm-hmm. got Doug Hagman coming in to talk with us, if I remember correctly.
Right.
I don't have a list in front of me. We are really trying to line up some great interviews for you so you can get a handle not just on the politics, but the spiritual movers and shakers
right.
behind it.
Yeah, and that way you can take your pick. If you want the political stuff, you can listen to the half-hour weekday shows. If you just want the interviews with Les Blather, then that's Sunday night. So great taste in Les Blather.
And if you just want rantings, well, call us.
Happy to do that on the phone anytime.
Anytime.
I need to point out Watcher Magazine. I want to point this out very quickly. Sharon has worked on a redesign of Watcher Magazine that is phenomenal. And while she's been doing that, she's lined up guest columnists that will be writing pieces for Watcher on a regular basis,
too.
Oh,
we are so blessed.
We truly are. Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin
mm-hmm.
will contribute the Mustang Report.
Right. He's planning on doing that every week. Now, I've got three in the can, so to speak. So mm-hmm. there's one up. No, there's one up from previously. And then this Friday, there will be the first of the next three. So yeah. He's doing a lot of writing.
Doug Hagman of the Northeast Intelligence Network, director of the Northeast Intelligence Network, will be contributing a piece on a regular basis.
His is going to be sort of whatever he needs to say, mm-hmm. you know, at any given particular time. So we're not saying he's got a particular day of the week or he's weekly or anything like that. He could go three times in a week and then not say anything for 3 weeks. But it's called FYI because it's whatever God lays on his heart.
Mm-hmm.
For that moment.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to talking to him. Doug is a longtime investigator. He's the CEO of a multi-state investigative agency. He's a private investigator mm-hmm. who has served with the FBI on, as an FBI asset on investigations. And the interviews that we've done with him at the Eagle 93.9 have been among our most popular podcasts, downloaded, you know, a couple thousand times a piece. Mm-hmm. So there are people out there who listen to what Doug has to say, and I think with good reason. And then Tom Horn will be contributing the Armageddon Papers, an ongoing series as it relates to the political and spiritual war. And boy, his first piece, which is also at his site, Raiders News Network.
I know.
The Rise of Angelic Rule in Washington, D.C. And isn't that a compelling title? The Rise of Angelic Rule.
You know, it's especially timely for me in the light of all of the symbolism that we've seen going on the last 4 or 5 days with the burial of Gerald R. Ford.
Yeah, yeah. There has been a lot of symbolism regarding the Ford, the ceremonies around Gerald R. Ford's memorial and the funeral today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know what? I'm still sort of piecing through it, but the first thing I can tell you right offhand is that he died on St. Stephen's Day.
Mm-hmm. Which was mentioned during the funeral today.
It's been mentioned in every one.
Mm-hmm.
I've sort of peeked in on all three.
And what was the significance of Stephen? He was a martyr?
He was a martyr, exactly. He was the first Christian martyr.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say he ushered in a whole age of martyrdom. It was on the 26th which was the day after Christmas,
mm-hmm.
Also known as Boxing Day, because there's a tradition of giving, if you live in Canada or the UK or elsewhere, you may not, we don't do it here in the United States, but there was a tradition of those who had a lot boxed up their leftovers and gave it to the those who didn't have much, who would come around.
I thought it had to do with re-gifting, you know, you wrap the boxes back up and...
No, you just punch people and they go to the door. No, there was that 26, of course, is it was 12-26, mm-hmm. 2-6, 2006. So you got doubles of that. Doubles are very important in occult numbers. 26 is 13 twice.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in the first two services, religious, I'm not going to say Christian, there were religious services. The one in his home church there in California, is that where they were living? And the one at the Washington National Cathedral. I just rolled my eyes. You can't see it.
Yeah.
But both times he was on an octagonal dais,
mm-hmm.
That risers that are really important numerologically, but also occult. There are a lot of things. If I remember correctly, there were three steps leading up to it. It makes 3 times 8, which is 24, which is a Kabbalah number. Don't ask me to go into all that.
No.
That'll take the rest of the show and more so. But the 8 is a big number because it's the 8 witches Sabbaths going around. You've got the cardinal points, call that a square,
mm-hmm.
and then put another square over it,
right.
and you end up with an 8-pointed star. So an octagon is pretty important. I don't know what the one in his home church looked like, but the Washington National Cathedral had a Celtic cross on it. 4 Celtic crosses,
mm-hmm.
and a Templar cross, a Crusader cross.
Interesting.
Which I thought was just in your face.
And again, this is the Washington National Cathedral.
Yeah.
This is also the cathedral that's got those interesting gargoyles and grotesques, as they call them, around the outside of the church.
Yeah, Darth Vader.
One of which was Darth Vader. I did some looking into that today, and I mentioned that on the air this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
My producer thought I was kidding, and he looked it up. And there is a Darth Vader gargoyle. And this is also the church that is overseen, the curator of which is the Bishop of Washington, D.C., for the Episcopal Church USA, the Right Reverend John Bryson Chain, C-H-A-N-E, who at Christmas in 2003 made the statement that Christians, Muslims, and Jews all worship the same God. And he was the one who prayed over President Ford when the president's body was received at the Washington National mm-hmm. Cathedral yesterday. Mm-hmm. So,
President Ford was 33rd degree Freemason. So
and
that's very important. His big college career was 1932-33.
University of Michigan, yeah.
He was born in 1913.
Yeah, he is prominently featured at the website of the national headquarters of the Scottish Rite Masonic Lodge, which is in Washington, D.C., and very interesting location.
We'll
talk about
that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Gerald Ford died, and by the way, Gerald means rule of the spear.
Okay.
The spear is something that goes back to Hitler, you know, and his occult beliefs. Exactly.
Yeah.
We can get into that sometime, but when he died, there were no fewer than 8 octagon
mm-hmm.
comets visible with a small telescope.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A comet is always significant in...
Of the death of a leader, according to Roman custom.
Right, right.
And more we're finding that our country seems to be more Roman than anything else.
When you look at many of the traditions of... the liturgical denominations, which are basically drawn from practices developed over the years in the Roman Catholic Church, it stems from the cult of Mithras.
Mm-hmm. Which is something I've been doing a lot of reading about the last few days, and I got there because I started studying the Kabbalah. I'm not flipped out. I've not left my Christian roots.
No.
I'm doing this is again, peering into darkness, and I do don't do this at home, kids. Unless you are a very mature believer.
Grounded. And this is, consider this intelligence gathering.
Oh, it
trying
is.
To find out what the enemy believes.
I read through this stuff, Derek. I honestly feel like I have to take a shower when I'm done.
It is disturbing because there are a lot of people out there who believe this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You want to dive into the Kabbalah and the Washington layout of Washington, D.C.?
Oh, yes. This is something that has been tickling my brain for a while. I finally sat down. Because I've looked at the Kabbalah tree for probably a number of times off and on over the last 3 or 4 years, and and finally decided that I would sit down over this break and study what I could about it. It's an extremely deep subject.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just able to scratch the surface. But as I was doing it, again, this tickle at my brain, every time I've seen that, the Kabbalah tree, I thought, that reminds me of something. It hit me what it was. It's the streets of
Washington
with White House right smack in the middle.
Yeah. Now, you may have seen an overlay of Masonic symbolism, the square and compass, the level and compass, and an inverted pentagram over the street map of Washington, D.C., with the point of the inverted pentagram at the White House. I can see the pentagram. To me, the level and compass, kind of fits, sort of. But I'll tell you what, when Sharon laid the Kabbalah Tree of Life over the street map of Washington, D.C., it fits.
Mm-hmm.
And then in talking to our friend David Duncan, who we're going to discuss the Kabbalah with in a few weeks, he said, you know, where is the location of the Grand Shrine or whatever they call it, the headquarters office, the main mm-hmm. office in Washington, D.C. of the Scottish Rite Masonic Lodge?
Right.
It falls right at the Sephiroth. Now, the Tree of Life is...
It's composed of 10 circles that represent pieces of God.
Yeah.
And they're called Sephiroth.
Mm-hmm.
Sephira. S-E-P-H-I-R-A. That's the singular.
Right.
S-E-P-H-I-R-O-T-H is the... And I think there are various ways of spelling it because it's based actually on Hebrew letters.
Right.
So, and the very top one is called the Kether, or Kether.
Mm-hmm.
K-E-T-H-E-R. And that's the crown.
The crown.
The brain or the wisdom.
The glory, the head.
And the glory,
yeah.
Exactly. And what do we find there?
That is the location on 16th Avenue Northwest of the headquarters of the Masonic Lodge in Washington.
Scottish
Rite Masonic Lodge. That is
very
interesting.
Guess what? The Washington Monument. Guess where it falls?
it falls on the Sephira that refers
to... Actually, it's not on the Sephira.
It is.
Oh, it is. That's
it
right,
is.
It is.
It's the one called Yasad, I think. Let me look it up here.
I couldn't remember if it was on it or if it was south of it, but it falls exactly...
It falls smack dab on it.
This as the Scottish Rite is the head. Go down and... Well.
Yeah, it is the Sephira that refers to, let's say...
Procreation.
Procreation, yeah. And, which shouldn't be a surprise to anyone who's thought for a minute about what the Washington Monument really means and the reflecting pool, the, you
mm-hmm.
know. And interestingly enough, then the Jefferson Memorial is also on a Sephira.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but anyway, when you look at the map, and we'll post a link to this, I posted it to this Peering into Darkness forum, along with the explanations of what the Sephiroth mean.
Uh-huh. We've also talked to Peter Goodgame about it, and
yeah.
he's absolutely in agreement.
It is really it is really creepy that it fits so well.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked because it is a much better fit than the again than the level and compass that we've seen overlaid to show that the Masons were involved
well,
in this.
What's
funny. Interesting though is that the Masonic temple in D.C. that fits where the location of this crown of glory, the Kether mm-hmm. Sephira, is located, wasn't built until 1911. The cornerstone was laid in 1911.
Mm-hmm. By the Masons.
By the Masons,
course.
Yeah.
But
well,
they also laid the cornerstone for a number of other buildings, including the Washington National Cathedral.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
did
they're
they?
Very open about it.
Oh, that's interesting. Where does that fall on the...
We need to find out where that falls. By the way, there's a direct connection, a street that connects through Sephira. Between goes through the White House down to Congress,
mm-hmm.
and that's the Sephiroth that represents judgment and death.
Very interesting.
There are paths along these. If you can imagine that these little circles are all connected, then it's sort of like hopscotch. If you can imagine the mm-hmm. hopscotch squares that you may have drawn or seen drawn. There are 32 paths, 22 lines. Plus the 10 Sephiroth themselves, which each one is considered a path, a quest in your journey to godhood, up to the Scottish Rite Freemasonry area.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to 32, ding, 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 you're there.
Mm-hmm. So it is something that is worth considering. And again, it's not that we believe that this is the way government should be plotted out or decisions made, you know, but somebody obviously...
Lafont.
Charles L'Enfant, the guy who laid out these streets in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. was obviously guided by somebody to incorporate this into the plan, the street map for Washington,
D.C. Whether he did it consciously or unconsciously, either way, it's a spiritual direction.
Yeah. So that is interesting. And in the midst of all this, we've got the death and the funeral procession of Gerald Ford, which has gone from coast to coast. I was listening to Michael Savage on the way home tonight, and he said, it's been 5 days. And he wasn't, I don't know that he was trying to be disrespectful, but he was saying, look, this is like something from the Egyptian Book of the Dead, this veneration of the deceased leader. Let's, you know.
I know. Before we went on, I said he should go to Texas and Alabama and just complete the pentagram.
So that has been
My prayer, seriously, I pray that Gerald R. Ford truly did believe in Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ that you and I know, the Son of the living God.
Right.
The one who died on Calvary, rose again, and is coming back. I truly believe he believed in him and not someone other Jesus.
Yeah.
Paul tells us that there are people out there preaching a different Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. We see them every day.
They use the name of Jesus a number of times today in that ceremony, and I just sat there thinking, what are you talking about? Your symbolism and your rhetoric tells me, and your works tell me, you don't know him.
Yeah, and we don't and can't pretend to know what's truly in the hearts of those people. So that's just it. And so we will, temper our remarks with that and say that it is our prayer that they are genuine and sincere and they may very well be.
I know. I just pray. I pray that they are.
And in that case, it would be a joy to know that that President Ford is on his way to heaven, but or is already in the arms of the Lord.
But being a Scottish Rite Freemason, a 33rd degree, no matter what they tell you. I think I've told this story on here before. Many years ago, I was witnessing to an older gentleman. I was probably 20, and he said, "Honey, I'm fine. I've got my ticket in." And I said, "Sir, you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And he just waved a big old Scottish Rite ring right in my face. Said, "There you
That's
go.
That's his path." Okay. Yep. Well, if he thought that was his path, then President Ford is. If President Ford thought that was his path, then he was mistaken. So that's what's been going on politically. There's some other things of interest, too. I mean, you found a great story that just is a real shock.
Which one?
Well, there's so many. The one that really gets me is the story that the government of Mexico, or at least the state of Puebla in Mexico, is giving satellite navigation handheld devices to people who profess to the government, declare to the government their intention to illegally cross the border into Arizona.
Can you believe it?
Well, yes, because this fits with the graphic novel that they published for people who want to illegally emigrate on how to get across the border, what
it's
they should
illegal,
carry.
But if you're going, go here. If you're going to, and by the way, before we, before you leave,
stock
here's
up.
Your sat nav, here's some needles, so you're using clean needles, and here's some condoms.
Yeah, make sure you're totally safe.
And here's a chocolate bar.
The path into Arizona is the most commonly traveled, but it's the most dangerous. There are some 75,000 a month that travel this path into America. 50 to 60,000 are caught and sent back. 15,000 a month make it through. But 20 to 30 a year die because it's dangerous. You've got scorpions and other dangerous creatures that can get you if the heat and the exposure doesn't don't. And this satellite nav device, it's sort of like a satellite-enabled... Oh, gosh, life alert thing. Yeah, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah, I mean, it really isn't like the... I've got a graphic up there that really is a little exaggerated. All right, it's very much exaggerated. I think it's if they get lost.
Right.
Someone can find them. But here's the thing. Let's assume that it's not a bad thing for them to have these devices. According to the article, there are guides who will take you through this region.
Yeah, coyotes.
Something like $3,000.
From $2,000 to $10,000 per person.
It's a lot of money. And if you fall behind, too bad. They don't care.
They leave you.
As long as you paid them, that's all they care about.
Sure.
If you've got one of those things and they find out, they're just going to steal it from you, kill you and steal. Anybody who is willing to leave you in the desert once he or she has, I'm assuming it's a man, has his money, they're going to take that from you. And the other side of that coin is all you have to do is say you want to go up there. Well, Mr. Terrorist, line up.
Yeah. This is really the amazing thing, is that the government of Puebla will give one to you if you declare your intention to illegally cross the border into the United States. You're being helped by the government of Mexico.
If I declare my intention to drive to see my family in Indiana.
Will they give you a satellite navigation
device? Will they gas up my car?
No, I don't think so. No, sadly, I don't think it works that way. So that's another example of how the government of Mexico is facilitating what amounts to a slow-speed invasion of the southwestern United States. We're watching a low-grade invasion.
That's exactly what it is.
And it's all part of the coming North American Union.
Mm-hmm.
Which I need to talk to Jerome Corsi. He's got an article in Human Events Online today. Apparently, Michael Medved, former movie critic, now commentator, mm-hmm. radio commentator, conservative, in quoting marks, just wrote a column at townhall.com, and he just went off on Jerome Corsi, called him, without naming names, Medved called those who are sounding the alarm about the North American Union, like Corsi, like Lou Dobbs, called them conspiracy theorists, internet wackos, louts, liars, and drunks.
Well, color me happy to be included with Lou Dobbs and Jerry Corsi.
Yeah. Yep, I agree, because it's coming. Why do we talk about this? Because it's all part of the prophetic one-world government, mm-hmm. which is on the way.
It is. You know, speaking of prophecy, we talked earlier about Ahmadinejad's prophecy of mm-hmm. the fact that there would be the Mufti coming in before the vernal equinox. Well, as he's rattling sabers over there, the think tank in Israel has mm-hmm. said, you know what? You don't have to wait for a thing. Just go after him.
Yeah. The Israelis have got groups inside there, and this is from Tel Aviv University, a think tank at Tel Aviv
University. Let me tell you, this think tank just recently changed names. They used to be called something else, and I haven't done a whole lot of research on it yet to see who all is involved and how they connect up, but once I find out more, I'll let you know. If you're listening to this and you know more about it, please write to us. Back in 1981, Begin mm-hmm. was advised by a think tank
to take out the Iraqi nuclear reactor.
Exactly.
Okay. So Olmert.
It's like, okay, I've got permission now. Let's go.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Olmert has done some very questionable things here over the last couple of months, and I'm not sure what he's thinking. But
Menachem Begin was thinking, I need to get reelected.
Yeah.
According to some articles I read online that were written, and they're really good. I think I linked to it here in my little comment at the top of the story. Yeah, it's the McNair paper about the Osirik attack. He essentially says that Begin had to do it. It was either give up politics or hit it.
Huh. Well, we'll see what happens, because Olmert is not made a lot of friends with his policies in recent months.
No, and it doesn't get talked about very often, but Ariel Sharon is still in Netherworld somewhere.
Almost a whole year now, isn't it?
Yes.
Wasn't it last January?
Look for his death to be announced at a propitious time. Yeah. I'm convinced that's why they're leaving him in that just sort of Netherworld.
How bizarre.
When they choose, they can say, oh, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
All hail Ariel Sharon and his policies. In his name, let's go forth.
And conquer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they love causes. We all do. I love causes. One of those causes that prompted the Lebanon War was Shalit.
Who's still being held by
Galiad Shalit.
Yes.
He's still being held.
Yeah.
Supposedly in Egypt.
That was what triggered the offensive in Gaza. There were a couple of other soldiers who were taken in Lebanon.
Oh, I thought he was taken to Egypt for protection.
No, he's being held by Hamas, not by Hezbollah.
Well, in the meanwhile, there was a story in Watcher a month or so ago that George Bush is planning to attack Syria. So this could be a really interesting next few months.
It could well be.
He said he's going to send an additional 20,000 troops to bolster Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of extra troops.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting year. We're happy you're here with us. And as always, we ask for your comments at Derek or at Sharon at peeringintodarkness.com.
Or if you just want to send a generic one, send it to radio at peeringintodarkness.com. Or stop by the forum at peeringintodarkness.com/forum. That peeringintodarkness.com is all over the place.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
And by the way, in case you're new to us, PID stands for staring into darkness.
Yep.
Because we are Christians, and that's what we do. We look into dark, nasty places, places that make you feel like you need to take a shower after.
When you're done. Well, we're going to take a shower, and then until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Cutting-edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.